All right, I'm going to pray and then we're going to look at God's word. Our Father, we thank you for how we can come and consider your word this morning. I thank you for all those here today, including those watching online. I also thank you for Jill and Alana watching online. Thank you for Jill coming home from hospital, and we thank you for that. And Father, we just ask now that you would help us by your Spirit, that you would make alive in our hearts your truth. May it be that we walk our lives in your truth. And thank you that your truth is glorious. So please would you help us now, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So starting off from Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, we read, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave." I want you to just picture them coming to the grave with grief and tears. Wouldn't it be? Grief and tears. They believed that Jesus was dead, and they were coming to the tomb to do something very special. In Mark chapter 16 verse 1 we find out more information that they were coming to the tomb bringing spices that they might come and anoint Jesus' body. That was a Jewish custom, a lovely Jewish custom to respect the dead. And so that's what they were doing. And as they were coming, we noticed, even though they had grief and tears, there was a great trembling. On their way, an angel from heaven came down. And let's read about that in verses 2 to 5. "And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid.'" So what a dramatic turn of events. They're going to the tomb with grief and tears, and suddenly there's a great trembling. An angel of the Lord had come down and shaken the earth, shaken Jerusalem, and caused that stone to be rolled away and then sat on it. And what about those soldiers? Man, they would have been shaken like a leaf. They would have just been so fearful. It says that they hit the ground like dead men, in awe of what was happening. And then they took off later on. And what about the women? I reckon they'd be shaking too. What a great trembling they would have when you think of a mighty angel shining so brightly like lightning and coming and sitting on that stone. Wow. But now let's have a read of the words of the angel in Matthew 28, 5 to 7. "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" Oh, wow. Quite often in those words, the angel is saying something that's phenomenal. What grand tidings. What is being declared to the woman? Jesus is risen. He's alive. And you see the angel even ushering the woman into the tomb to check it out, to show them that the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. Wow. And they get told to now go and tell the disciples this beautiful news, this glorious truth that Jesus is alive. And that's what they did. Verse 8, "And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples." Can you imagine what they're going to be doing? They're going to be telling the disciples this glorious truth that Jesus is alive. That's what they were doing. But then verse 9 tells us something amazing happened. "And behold, Jesus met them." The risen Jesus met them and greeted them. "And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him." I love just picturing this. They're filled with fear and joy, all a combination, and they're running to the disciples, and on the way, Jesus meets them. Can you imagine that? Seeing the risen Jesus. They had gone to the tomb to anoint a dead body. And now they see the risen Jesus alive before them. And they can't help themselves, filled with awe, filled with joy. They fell at his feet, they clung to his feet, and they worshipped him. And then Jesus goes on to say to them in verse 10, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Wow. And that's the account of Matthew, from Matthew's account of the resurrection. And this morning I want us to consider the glorious truths that flow out of the resurrection, of Jesus coming alive from the dead. We've just gone through the account, but they're incredibly powerful and magnificent truths that flow out of the resurrection. I hope you know them. Do you know them? It's not just an event. Jesus rose from the dead. There are incredible implications from the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Wow. So let's have a look at them now. And the first glorious truth that I want to highlight to you is this one. Son of God. That is who Jesus is. Can you say that too? Son of God is who Jesus is. And you notice through his life, the religious leaders were always trying to say that he's not the Son of God, that he is a blasphemer. But the resurrection proves so powerfully that he is the Son of God. And I love a verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that says that. He was declared the Son of God with power, by his resurrection from the dead. So if you know your Bibles well, you would know that right through Jesus' life, there's every reason why we should have been concluding that he is the Son of God, because of his majestic might and power, how he could heal the sick and raise the dead, how he could do all sorts of things like walk on water and calm storms. What do you reckon? And how he could change water into wine and feed all those masses with barely anything. He surely was showing us all the time his true glory, that he's the Son of God. But the resurrection just completely affirms it. He is the Son of God. And do you know what that means then? If he's the Son of God, then that means he really did come from heaven. He really does know God. And he was revealing to us the true God. His words are gold. His words are gold. The Son of God, speaking to us about God and life. And I love Peter. Early on in John chapter 6, the Apostle Peter understood these things way back then before the resurrection. He said in John chapter 6, 68 and 69, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." He knew Jesus' words were gold even back then, and how we should as well. He's the Son of God. And Son of God, wow, that makes him so much higher than any other religious leader or philosopher the world has ever seen. He's the Son of God. He came from heaven into our world. And I like to do a little contrast and to remind you all how much superior Jesus is to any other religious leader. Let's consider two great leaders where there is massive followings. There are 500 million people in this world who follow Buddha. But Buddha died and he was cremated and his ashes were scattered to 8 places. And there's 2 billion people who follow Muhammad. And he died in 632 AD. And he has a tomb in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia. And that tomb is not empty. But Jesus' tomb is empty because he's a Son of God. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. And when you understand who Jesus really is, how excellent it is to put your faith in him, to believe in him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "He who believes in him shall never, ever be disappointed." Because he true, he really is real and true, the Son of God. Now, the next most glorious truth about Jesus that I want to bring out now is that our salvation is sure. That is fantastic news. Our salvation is sure. At the cross, Christ atoned for our sins, but the empty tomb affirms it. In Christ, we are truly forgiven and saved because he died for our sins and rose again. And there's another great verse in Romans about this. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he was delivered up for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. See how the two go together? Died for our sins, for our transgressions, raised for our justification. The Father can say to me, can say to you, forgiven, because my Son paid the penalty for your sins and he rose from the dead to seal it. I love those thoughts. In fact, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear how important the resurrection is, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17, he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. That's how important the resurrection is, still in your sins. But praise God that our salvation is sure. So here on Easter Sunday, you know, you can get a bit excited about this, right? Your salvation is sure. How do you feel about that? It is absolutely rock solid because Jesus rose from the dead. And as a result, our hope is sure, our hope is glorious, our hope is even a living hope. And Steve mentioned a great verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, in regards to our hope. And it says these words, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a hope we have, an absolutely sure hope. And our salvation is so sure, I love the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, 1 and 2, where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. That's how sure our salvation is. Are you in Christ? Have you come to know Jesus? Have you trusted in him? Then your salvation is secure and sure. And that's a really big thing for us to comprehend. Because like you, we are wayward. But we still sin. We have had a past. And I praise God that he has made it clear to us. Because Jesus died for us and rose again. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, even if we're still up and down, you're forgiven. You are saved. Your salvation is absolutely sure, despite your ups and downs. Isn't that a beautiful thing to know? Because we do have doubts. We wonder, how can I truly be saved? How can I be a Christian, especially when we muck up? But the death and resurrection of Jesus makes our salvation absolutely sure. I'm so glad about that. So we've considered Son of God, that's Jesus, and our sure salvation. But there's another big thing flowing out of the resurrection, and it's this one, that Jesus is the sovereign Lord. The sovereign Lord, and we've been singing about that. After his resurrection, after he appeared to people for 40 days, convincing his followers that he was alive, he then ascended. He ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Father. And there was a coronation service, not seen on earth, but seen in heaven, where Jesus was made King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the sovereign Lord. I'm going to read to you from the Old Testament and New Testament. There is a fantastic section, we're coming up to it still, in Daniel chapter 7. We're doing a series in Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Daniel gets to see this amazing thing. And this happened after Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Daniel says, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Who might this be? There's only one answer. It's Jesus. After his resurrection. And then we read, and to him was given dominion, glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not ever be destroyed. What do you think of those words? What a beautiful vision. Daniel has a powerful vision. Jesus is Lord. He's a sovereign Lord. He rules and reigns. This is the great implication of him rising from the dead. And there's also a lovely passage in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to start off by reading verse 8 down to verse 11. And the Apostle Paul writes there, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What do you think of that passage? He was raised from the dead. He has ascended to the throne. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the sovereign Lord. The sovereign Lord. And he rules and reigns over this broken world. He rules and reigns over this world where he has allowed people to have free will and free choice. He allows that to happen, but he still sovereignly rules and reigns. He allows us free will and free choice, and most people will turn their back to Jesus and even hate him and deny him, but continues to give us free will and choice. If he leaves it to us to turn to him with his help, we need his help to do this, to turn to him and trust in him. But he still rules and reigns. Now I want to just touch some really beautiful things that hit my heart. I love how Jesus rules and reigns. I'm so glad that he's the sovereign Lord, because in his rule, he watches over us who love him. What does he do before the throne of God? Well, he's watching over us. And there's some great verses I want to highlight to you. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we read, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for us. So he ever lives, he rose from the dead, and he is forever making intercession for us. And I don't know if you've personalized that. I have. I think of Jesus before the throne, before the Father, interceding for a man called Ian. Interceding for when I mess up, when I don't, not doing what I should be doing, when I fail the Lord, when I become apathetic in my heart. He intercedes for me and plead for God's mercy upon me, not just to forgive me, but to lift me back up. He intercedes. As a sovereign Lord, he intercedes for his people every day. You're not even aware of it, but that's what he's doing. I'm so glad he's the sovereign Lord. And as a sovereign Lord, he's with us. He told us he'd be with us by his Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is with us. The sovereign Lord lives in your heart if you've opened your heart to him. How good is that? I'm so glad he's the sovereign Lord and that he is ruling and reigning. And also, even though we live in a world at the moment that's very rocky, and who knows what's going to happen? Jesus does. I'm so glad that in his rule and reign, he will one day bring all things under his rule. What a day that will be. And there's some great verses on that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 25 and 26, It says, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." And the last enemy that will be abolished is death. So Jesus will bring all those who are opposed to him, all those who hate Christians, all those who persecute us. He will come one day and rule over and bring reign into this broken world. And it says the last enemy that will be abolished is death. Wow, this is good news. One day, Jesus is going to abolish death. How good is that? So what does that mean? Well, if we love the Lord Jesus, one day we are going to experience a resurrection. Are you looking forward to that? A resurrection. You are going to have your body raised to life. You'll have a glorious new body, an eternal body, to enjoy the new creation that Jesus is making for his people. So no more aches and pains. Are you happy about that? No more sorrows, no more tears. Like, it's going to be the best. We will have a body like Jesus's, except for one difference. He will always bear in his body the marks of the cross, that we might not ever forget what he did to love us and save us from our sins. His body will be marked forever, but our bodies will be free of all scars, will be free indeed. What a great day that will be. And Jesus said those words in John 11 at the tomb of Lazarus. Speaking to Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." He's not just talking about your soul. He's talking about your physical body as well. And when will this great day be? When the sovereign Lord comes back. We've got to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." How good is that? A day is coming when Jesus will abolish death. And he'll bring back those who have died in Christ, and their dead bodies will be raised to life. And those who remain on the earth, we will ascend into heaven in the twinkling of an eye. Our bodies will be changed into glorious bodies. This is what the sovereign Lord will do. All because Jesus rose from the dead. So, you know, when you think of that bit about Jesus coming back, that's going to be the ultimate proof that he arose from the dead, isn't it? And this cynical world, this world that doubts Jesus and rubbishes Jesus, will one day behold something they pushed down. They will behold the reality that Jesus did rise from the dead. He is alive. He conquered the grave. He is the Son of God. There is salvation only in him. But it'll be too late, whether we die or whether Jesus comes back. It'll be too late to turn to him then. We need to turn to him now. And there's every reason why we should. The accounts of the Gospels are real accounts. Jesus is the Son of God. There is salvation only in him. Acts 4:12, what a verse. "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." How we need to turn to him, because the sovereign Lord is coming back. And there's two things that the sovereign Lord will do. He will gather to himself all those who have repented of their sins and received him as their Lord and Saviour. He will welcome those who have turned away from living for self and have turned to Jesus. They've called on Jesus to save them. They've committed their life to him. And he will welcome them with open arms, the sovereign Lord, into my kingdom. Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But he will say to the majority, we know that already, the majority, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He is the sovereign Lord. He gives us a free choice. I pray that God might speak to us and open our eyes and help us to realize that Jesus is real. He is alive. And by faith, I am to trust in him and turn to him and give my life to him. And when we do that, it's really, really good news. We're saved and our salvation is sure. I am so glad Jesus rose from the dead. I cannot tell you enough that. I am so glad that I have a living Saviour. I'm so glad that he is watching over me and keeping me all the days of my life. I'm so glad that he will welcome me home, all because of what he's done. And I just simply put my faith in him. I turned to him and trusted in him. I look forward to the day when I shall see him face to face. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou over death has won. Angels in bright raiment, roll the stone away. Kept the folded grave clothes where thy body lay. Thine is the glory. Do you know this song? Risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou over death has won. Hallelujah. Musicians are getting ready and then we'll stand and sing. We need to get more excited, honestly. I sort of think, what is going on with everyone? Lo, Jesus meets thee, verse 2, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets thee, scatters fear and gloom. Let his church with gladness Hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth. Death hath lost its sting. These words are gold. Praise the Lord. Let's give thanks. Father, we thank you so much that by the almighty power of the triune God, Jesus did not remain dead. We thank you, Father, Spirit and Son, for the great power you have to raise Jesus alive, to break the death hold that had the hold that death had on him. And I thank you so much that Jesus wasn't just resuscitated, he was resurrected to live forevermore, a glorious new life forevermore. And I thank you that in this new life he lives for us. He lives to intercede for us, to watch over us, to care for us, to bring us home to heaven. And even when we're not saved yet, thank you for the way he ministers to us, drawing us to himself, calling us home. Lord, I pray for any here who are experiencing that right now, that you would help us to yield to Jesus as he reveals himself to us, his truth and reality. May we yield to your Son. And Lord, for us who have, I pray that Jesus being alive would thrill our soul and that we would just enter into, Lord, a time in all these days before us of wanting to know Jesus more and more and to live for him. Oh, Father, thank you for this great news. Jesus is alive. Thank you so much that he died for our sins and rose again. Hallelujah to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.